Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
At least another year for a perfect season. Padres lose for the first time today. They fall to the Cubs. 3-1 at Wrigley Field. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. We got a shorter show today. 3 hours following Padres baseball. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. My camera just kind of following. Yeah, sometimes they just have a mind of their own, don't they?
So annoying.
It's like I'm trying to get on camera for those who are watching on YouTube. There we go. I'm not really in the middle of the screen.
I'll fix it. You go ahead.
You fix that, and we'll get underway here. Tony's heading back with the team, probably to the team hotel. So hopefully he will join us in just a little bit from Chicago, where the Cubs... I thought, really, if you look at the game today, here's what happened. The Cubs look like the Padres, and the Padres look like the teams they've been beating so far this season. I mean, as simple as that. Cubs... starting pitcher, Imanaga, didn't walk anybody. Threw strikes all day long. Cubs made great plays on defense today. In fact, they made two of them in the ninth inning, either one of which, had they gone the other way, could have allowed the Padres to tie or go ahead in that game. So it was the Cubs who made the play at the end. Defensively they were good. They stole the base today. The only steal of the day was by the Cubs. They ran the bases. I thought they did a great job of, doing what the Padres are pretty good at normally, and that is taking close pitches. Randy Vasquez, the first inning was a disaster. All right. I mean, when you're walking everybody and you're behind in the count on every hitter, that's terrible. But he came back and then retired 12 in a row. And if you go to that fifth inning, Kyle Tucker, after Ian Happ got a two out single, Tucker came up and I think it was a 3-2 pitch. And Vasquez must have missed the outside corner by less than an inch. And Kyle Tucker spit on it. Now, maybe he was confused or, fooled and didn't pull the trigger, but he didn't swing. Vasquez thought he had strike three. I think Martin Maldonado thought they had strike three. The umpire disagreed, and I must tell you that if they would have had the ability to tap the cap and look at the replay, they would have had to call that a ball. It missed the outside corner by, like I said, a fraction of an inch. Give Tucker credit. He took the pitch, and then Suzuki came up with two on, and I'll tell you what, Vasquez threw him, I thought, a perfect curveball on 3-2, right on the outside corner, and then, as curveballs do, it broke just off the plate. But guys always swing at that. Not this time. Suzuki took it. Ball four, loaded the bases. So, look, the Cubs did the thing. That's what the Padres do. They wear down opposing pitchers. They take a lot of walks. They drive the pitch counts up. They were unable to do that today against Imanaga. Imanaga kept throwing strikes, kept pouring them in there. I think he threw 13 in a row at one point, strikes. So, he looked, the Cubs look like the Padres. The Padres, on the other side, look like the teams they've been playing. All right? 7 walks. A hit batter. They allow a stolen base when Maldonado fumbles the ball. Manny makes a rare error, and it was crucial with the bases loaded, right? Padres don't steal any bases today, okay? So they didn't even put anybody in motion today, I don't think. And, you know, ultimately, you know, they don't come up with the win. That's it. It's simple as all of that stuff. The Cubs look like the Padres. The Padres look like, you know, the Braves did, or like the Guardians did. Not a bad game.
I don't even think they looked that bad at all.
That's what I mean. They didn't look bad. They didn't play a bad game. It was the little things that once again made the difference. And you know what the biggest play of the game was? It was the guy beating the force at second base. What we talked about the other day with Jackson Merrill, saying, look, Jackson Merrill beats the force at second. You never see that.
But this
Guess
was
what?
A different play.
It was a little different because the ball was hit into the hole.
Yeah.
And Xander had to go over to his right to knock it down and from his knees throw to second base. So it was a little different than Merrill just flat out outrunning the play. But that was the game. That gave them a 2-1 lead. That broke the tie.
What do you think?
And if they're not hustling, and that was Suzuki again, if he's not hustling from first to second there, then Xander makes the easy play, inning's over, and you stay 1-1. So, look, we've talked about this, the margins, the little margins. The Padres are really good in the margins, and they were good today, but the Cubs were better. The Cubs were just better in the margins today, and they win the ball game. You go to the ninth inning. Look, the Cubs made a couple of plays that they were lucky to make. They were, and they made them. And that's how they won the game. Look, runner at first, one out, Jackson Merrill, sinking liner to left center field. Crow Armstrong, I thought, played it poorly, frankly. In that circumstance, to me, you can't take the chance that he took and dive for that ball. Because if he missed it, if he short hop past him.
No, he got lucky.
Run scores, Merrill's on third,
yep.
And the tying run is 90 feet away.
It bounced
right into his glove. And look, it was a bad play that worked out. In my mind, as the center fielder there, you have to realize that the tying run was at the plate, Jackson Merrill. You got to let that ball fall and keep Jackson Merrill on first base. But he went for the dive. And he got lucky. The ball bounced into his glove. And, you know, Merrill had to stay at first base. Next batter, Gavin Sheets hits a high chopper to the third baseman. The rookie, Matt Shaw, comes off the bag, short hop again, right into his glove. I don't even think he was looking. The ball just, he reached down, the ball short hopped into his glove. Now, these are major league ball players, and they make plays like this. Manny does that all the time. But it was still a hell of a play. And if he doesn't make it, the ball bounces off his glove. Bases are loaded, one out. Could have a totally different finish to the game. So there's your game today.
I want to bring up one thing that I think we have different opinions on. You don't think that it was ever a choice for Xander Bogaerts to throw over to first to try to get Justin Turner out instead of going to second? Because I was listening on the radio coming down, and Jesse said it looked like it was a preconceived, I'm going to go second if I get the ball. Justin Turner's not that fast. I know Sammy Lev said that he watched the overhead view and he maybe had time. Obviously, it's a question that we can't really answer, but you don't seem to think that was a big deal.
It was a big deal, but I just don't think he really could have thrown to first.
Okay.
I disagree with those guys. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I
we have our
wondering.
Opinion. It was a big deal. It was the game. The game was on that ground ball. All right? You got bases loaded. There's two outs. Now, the ground ball was hit into the hole, which means that Xander had to move to his right, which means that Xander's momentum is going away from both second base and first
definitely.
Base.
It's a hard throw.
His momentum is going toward the third base stands.
Yeah.
And he had to go down on his knees and able to smother the ball. I don't think from there he felt that he could get up and get enough on a throw with his momentum going the other way all the way across the diamond to first base to get Justin Turner. And I think it's Monday morning quarterbacking is what it is. Because he obviously should have tried that because he didn't get to play at first or at second. So, yes, since the guy was safe at second, he should have tried first because maybe they would have got Justin Turner. But I think it's Monday morning quarterbacking.
I think he made the play.
I think he made the only play he could make. As a matter of fact, the real play to make and almost impossible to make would have been if he could have just thrown for the third. Because the momentum was going in that direction, much shorter throw. Problem, nobody's covering third. Because Manny's trying to reach the ground ball himself. So there, he couldn't throw to third. There's nobody there.
You have a reason behind it. I don't think you're right or wrong.
I don't think either of us are right or wrong.
That was the question I was seeing going around social media. So
it's easy to criticize
after.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you want to criticize Xander Bogaerts, blame the game on him.
No one's doing that.
It's Monday morning quarterbacking. It's taking a look at the result of a play and saying
he could have.
You should have done
different.
This.
No, I get it, and I'm not.
You can't go back.
Xander Bogaerts is not the reason they lost this game. He also got a home run knocked down by the wind.
He had two.
Two home runs.
Two home runs knocked down by the wind today. And Xander Bogaerts, you know, I hate to call him one of my all-time favorite guys out, but Xander Bogaerts did not take strike three on a 3-2 pitch right down the middle with two outs in the ninth inning.
It wasn't right down the middle. It was a good pitch.
It was a good pitch, but it was a strike.
It was a strike.
You got to swing the bat there.
I agree. You should have heard me in studio, Chris. When that happened, I looked at Sammy Lev and I said, you got to swing the bat.
Everybody said that. Here's what happened, though. And I'm not making an excuse for Jake. If he had to do it again, he's going to be a little restless evening.
Maybe.
For Jake. You know, to go bases loaded, two outs, 3-2 pitch, and have one that you couldn't even argue, right? Like, he took the pitch and that was game. It wasn't like the ump called a close pitch against him. But I think here's what happened. Ryan Pressly, in that ninth inning, threw 33 pitches. That was the 33rd and final pitch he threw. Of the previous 32, about six or seven of those, maybe more, were sliders that started at the knees and went below the knees for a ball.
Yeah.
In fact, he walked a couple of hitters on that very pitch in that inning. Okay? So... And it wasn't bases loaded. I take it back.
No,
it was second and third.
Second and third, yeah.
And if he gets a hit, they tie the game. But he walked at least one hitter in that inning on that very pitch, a slider that starts at the knees and dips below the strike zone. And I think Jake saw that pitch come out of his hand.
Thought it was a slider.
And thought it was going to start at my knees and going to break down below the strike zone. That's why I let it go. And once he realized it wasn't,
it's past him.
It was in the catcher's glove.
You don't have that much time. I don't like that he didn't swing, but you're right. It was a pitch that probably the last three pitches that Jake saw, or three or four pitches, were the same thing down below the zone.
It's a good pitch,
but you got to like swing to try to fight it off.
Of course you do. I mean, that's what you know, that's what we can all say.
Yeah. From my seat in the Odyssey Palace.
Yes, in the Odyssey Palace, you got to swing the bat,
and I haven't hit a 94-mile-an-hour fastball in my life. So.
No, nor will you ever, by the way.
Hey, you don't know that.
All right, we're underway. We got 3 hours. Tony should be joining us from Chicago once he gets back and settled after the ball game. Padres are now 7-1. If anybody would have hated that through eight games, I don't believe you. I think you would have taken 7-1.
Blow up the team.
Not only that, it's pretty clear to me they can't win on the road. They just can't win on the road.
Well, the stats back you up there.
That's right. They're 0-1 on the road. It's pretty obvious. They just can't do it. All right. Cubs 3, Padres 1. 7-1 now for the Padres. We'll discuss more. I got a notes on a scorecard coming up.
Ooh.
Notes and all kinds of fun stuff from the game that, you know, you may have seen. And like I said, Tony will be with us. Countdown as well. Daily Gambit, Big Five, you know, all the stuff. Friday, Gwen and Chris underway. Dodger.
Man, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fans are sending texts to Scraby right now, or tweeting at Scraby. They're saying, apparently, being undefeated is not for everyone.
Yes.
Oh, you Dodger fans are so clever.
I tweeted at the Padres when they posted the loss graphic, and I said, so this is what losing in 2025 feels like. And a Dodger fan wrote back, being undefeated isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
So I really hope they lose tonight so I can go right back to that tweet.
Well, the Dodgers will play in Philadelphia tonight. And
there he is.
There he is in Chicago. We said we'd have him, and here we do. Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us there in the windy, cold city. Padres do lose to the Cubs today, 3-1 the final, so we have to settle for a 7-1 start to the season. Tony, how are you, and how was your day in freezing Wrigley Field?
It was horrible.
Horrible.
First and foremost. It was that cold today, guys.
That cold, wow, okay.
It felt, I think it said 43, but it felt like at least below freezing.
Wow. So that cold. Oh, man.
It was cold. What pissed me off today was I got fooled by the weather where we are at the hotel, which is more town. You get over there by that water.
Yeah.
And that wind is coming off that bad boy, and it was like bone chilling. And I'm mad at myself because I had the layers here. Like, I got all the layers here, and I elected to go one less layer.
Ooh.
I was about three. I needed four.
You left a layer in the hotel room, huh?
I left a layer in the hotel room. Yeah. I probably should have doubled up on socks because my feet went numb about third inning.
Whoa. That is cold.
It was and you know what? I did my best not to mention it during the broadcast because I was playing I got to play mental gymnastics to get through it, right? And so I didn't say nothing. I said very little about it being cold. But I was cold.
What was funny, Chris, is I was listening to the broadcast on the way down. Jesse kept saying the temperature, and Tony kept adding the real feel.
Yeah.
So people actually understood how cold. Because when he says 44, you're like, whoa, that's kind of
wimpy. That doesn't give you the
Tony's
real
feel. Tony's like, actually, the real feel is 38 degrees right now.
And with the wind, probably even chillier than that.
It wasn't fun. I put it this way. We've been here the last three seasons early. I think not this early, maybe more early Mayish, but we've been playing like regular series, like night game, day game. We got all day games here. This felt one of the colder ones, and we got lots of rain coming in here shortly.
Yeah, they missed the rain today, but they did not miss the cold. One guy who did not seem to be bothered by the cold out there was Wandy Peralta, who pitched the eighth inning sleeveless out there.
Yeah.
I think Mark Grant said, look at Wandy Peralta. He doesn't need the sleeves. And Don Orsillo goes, I do. I mean, it was cold.
Well, so, to be fair, pitchers, you know, I've said this, and this is no offense, Chris, because I know you're a former pitcher.
No, I'm wacky.
Pitchers
are wacky. Yeah.
They're a little weird. They're a little weird. And I think some guys give you great examples. Blake Snell, who was a former Padre, used to pitch in long sleeves, and it would be 100 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pretty sure I've never seen Wandy with any sleeves on. So I'm assume he doesn't like to pitch with anything touching his elbows or his arms.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I was the opposite. No matter how hot it was, I would have sleeves. I didn't want
sleeves on. Yeah. I know lots of guys like that.
I didn't want the uniform.
I know lots of guys like that.
I didn't want the uniform touching any part of my body.
Speaking of sleeves, did you guys see that Kyle Hart is turtleneck short sleeve guy?
I did. My favorite look, by the way.
I remember that, and I thought about you, Tony.
Me and Jesse have pointed that out. It's a old school look. By the way, speaking of Kyle for the game, he's another dude out there, no undershirt, just his
he's from
jersey
Cincinnati.
On.
Come on.
And that's the first thing. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, wait a minute. Because I was getting ready to go say something to him. Then I was like, wait, he's from Cincinnati. This is probably light work for him.
It was not light work for anybody out there. Padres fell today. Here's a couple of plays that I wanted you to discuss. We discussed it in the first segment. You were there, so you had a much better look at it than I did on television. Bases loaded, obviously fifth inning, big play, ground ball to the hole. Bogart smothers it, goes to second. Seiya Suzuki does what our guy Jackson Merrill did the other day. He beats the force, and that allowed the go-ahead run in. Should, in your mind, Xander have gone to first to try to get the slower Justin Turner, or is that Monday morning quarterbacking, as I suggested?
No, I don't think it's Monday morning quarterbacking. I just think, I don't know that he had a play at first because, you know, it seemed like he couldn't get to his feet the way he wanted to, which is, it seemed like why he made the quick decision to go to second. But I'm not sure even if he gets off a good throw to first. From that hole where that ball was hit, that he got a chance. But based on what I was looking at in front of me, I don't think he ever had a chance to get Suzuki at second.
Okay. And he didn't. I mean, Suzuki was safe by a wide margin.
It
wasn't even something the Padres could challenge. So.
Yeah, no, he was definitely safe. It looked just like Jackson's did the other day. So. I mean, yeah, in hindsight, he probably should try at first, but I don't think they get him at first either.
Yeah. And then at the end of the game, take us into the batter's box and be Jake Cronenworth. Nobody's going to feel, you know, worse about this than Jake. And you guys are amazing to me as big league players because I'm assuming Jake is probably already, you know, thinking about tomorrow and what he's got to do. But I would strike out if I did with the tying runs at second and third looking in the ninth inning, and I'd think about it for about a month. What's going through his head there? I thought Presley made a really good pitch right at the knees. Jake may have thought he was going to dip below the knees, and then it was too late to adjust. What'd you think? Take us into the batter's box as best you can.
I mean, obviously, in that spot, you know, you're looking to come up big with a knock there. I don't think anybody sees that any differently. I just think based on what he had been showing, and by he, I mean Presley, mm-hmm. A fastball may not have been anywhere in the thought process of Jake there. And if you watch that AB, or if you watch that inning per se, he was throwing a ton of backdoor sliders, curveballs. Everything was like below the zone. Like he was, that was the one thing he was missing, but he was missing down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think he caught Jake slipping. I don't think Jake was thinking heater there. 3-2 fastball with runners on second and third. In today's game, especially, I mean, how often do we see 3-2 heaters? It's usually 3-2 breaking ball now. And you live with the result. Put it this way. You had Jason Hayward on deck. Jake's doubled in this game. It's a lefty-righty matchup. I'm probably in that spot thinking I'm getting a breaking ball too. Now, I think the difference is I think the right thought process to be I'm aware he could throw it, but I got to stay on the fastball because I can adjust down to the breaking ball.
Right.
Whereas the opposite, if I'm going to sell out to the breaking ball, I'm not going to be able to adjust up to the fastball. And I think he may have been in his mind, I'm looking for the breaking ball up. If it's down, I'm spitting on it. And maybe fastball is not something that he had in his mind at that point.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, Tony, that you know, it was part of the equation was first base was open. So you would think that Presley was not going to give in there. And he threw a lot of sliders that started at the knees and went below the zone. And I think that's what Jake was expecting.
He threw a ton of them. And what he ended up going with on that particular pitch was a 3-2 front hip kind of sinker running back over the plate. and it just locked Jake up.
Yeah, and I don't know if he missed a spot or if Amaya just was trying to deke Jake some way, but Amaya gave the location up and in, like around the letters inside, and I don't know if that meant anything.
That to me makes more sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, he probably wanted to go up because if he happens to be ready, it's a tougher pitch to get to. The pitch up, you know, above the top of the zone versus something that you can kind of just drop the barrel to if he is indeed looking for it. But I think it's clear he wasn't looking for that pitch right there. And
that's a
closer, a veteran closer making a good pitch and maybe just kind of outthinking Jake in that particular spot.
All right, Cubs win 3-1. Tony's with us from Chicago. We got more Gwen and Chris. We'll go through some more of the game today, and we got all of our regular segments, I think, except for Chris versus the fans today. We're going to give Scraby a day off.
Thank you.
I'm coming up with questions. But
thank you.
Well, I'm sorry I answered them all this week.
You
I
really did.
Apologize to you for that. More Gwen and Chris is ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, that's me.
Where the Rockies and A's are playing in the snow. There's actually snow flurries right now, and the game is underway. Just had a very strange play, Tony, and we'll see what the umpire's review says here. Rockies' Kyle Farmer hit a line drive into the left field corner, and it bounced underneath the padding right up against the wall in left field. But it did not look like it was stuck. The ball just lied there. Miguel Andujar went over, the left fielder, put his arms in the air as if to say, I can't get to this ball. It's stuck. Well, Kyle Farmer kept on running while Miguel Andujar was standing next to the ball. And Kyle Farmer came around for what looked like it might be an inside the park home run. But now they have just ruled.
I'm watching it.
They give him a double. I really don't know, Tony. He picked the ball up easily. Now, you're the outfielder. You tell me. Obviously, Andujar should not have taken this risk, but it's going to be okay for him because he's going to bring the runner back to second base. Bud Black will now argue, I'm sure.
Okay, so I'm watching the play like as we speak.
Yeah.
And what I could tell you is there are certain places in the outfield where like there may be some type of, I don't know, indention from, let's say, a sprinkler head, or in this case, it looks like the drainage.
Okay.
And so this rule changed a while back, or maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. But it used to be if something was stuck, if you attempted, if you made a move for it to try to get it out and then realized it was stuck, it was a live ball.
Okay.
That rule changed. Maybe Skip Schumacher's last year with the Padres on the staff, because I remember talking to him about it.
Okay.
That if it gets lodged in anything and you put your hands up, it's an immediate dead ball at that point. And right. So I say that because, you know, it looks like there's some type of indention down there where the ball can get stuck. And Andujar did the right thing. He immediately put his hands up because that's not like regular dirt where, you know, the ball is just stopped. It's literally, it seemed to hit off the back end of that wall and then come down and like stick there.
Yeah.
And so I think by rule, they're going to end up getting this right because it actually is lodged into something.
Yeah. The thing was, and that's what they called. They're going to rule it was a lodge and they sent the runner to second. But this was just a weird one in the sense that the ball was underneath the padding on the ground. So there was a space for it to get lodged, but it really right. didn't appear like it was lodged. Like he did eventually just reach over and pick the ball up and not have any trouble pulling it out of there.
Here's the thing though. Like you can see that there's some type of resistance. Like when he goes to pick it up,
okay.
It's not like he just, you know, grabs it and pick. You can see cause his other finger like slides down almost to re-grip it again to pull it out and throw. That's what I noticed at least.
From my view, Chris.
Your view.
I saw it going towards the wall, and then once it hit the wall, it just stopped. There was no bouncing around outside of the wall.
True.
You know, usually if it's going to hit the wall, it's going to bounce
back.
But then it bounced into the wall, under the wall.
Yeah, and I think that's where the lodging part comes in.
I want people to understand where I'm coming from here. Kyle Farmer is the 25th man on my 25-man fantasy roster.
This is why.
Okay.
And they just took away a home run from me because he would have had an inside the park home
this
run.
Makes sense. I'm like, we're watching it live. I'm like, Chris, that's a ground. No, it's a home run.
It's a home run.
Now it all makes sense.
Now you understand. All right. A's are leading the Rockies in the snow, 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth with the runner at second base. Not getting the inside the park home run. Padres fall 3-1 today. I thought I'd let Tony in on my new afternoon game segment. It's called Notes on a Scorecard. Scraby has not yet put together a fun open for this yet.
Well, I didn't know that it's official.
Well, it
now,
looks like
so
it's
okay.
Getting to be kind of official. So basically, give us a little music to accompany it. Basically, Tony, I just sit there and scribble a bunch of notes during the game, stuff that I notice that I want to talk about. And Scraby will make sure that you know that the stuff is written on a I don't know if you can see the paper.
he called it cookie
gingerbread man.
If you look at the bottom,
gingerbread man.
If you look at the bottom of the page, those are gingerbread men across the bottom here. And this is my wife's shopping list that I'm now using to make my notes on a scorecard. So
has she realized that you stole that yet?
She has not yet. No. So here's some of my stuff from today. And the first thing I went with today was Bob Scanlon doing the pregame report down on the field.
And he looked cold, didn't he?
He looked freezing. But here's what
He's
I remember.
Chicago. He was a Cub.
Here's what I remember.
Sorry.
Scanlon standing down the field by the first base dugout. And I remember him telling me that when he pitched for the Cubs, even though he had a 14-save season once for the Cubs, you know, the bullpens in Chicago are right. Are they still down the line? No, they're out in the outfield now. But when Scanlon played there, you warmed up right in front of the stands, okay, down the first base or third base line. Scanlon says that in his own home ballpark, when he used to get up to start warming up, the fans would start screaming for him to sit down.
Because he was too tall.
No, they didn't want him in the game. He told me he'd be warming up in his own park and you'd hear, Scanlon, you're a bum. Sit down. He's trying to warm
that
up.
Is,
so I was thinking of that today.
That is a Chicago staple, by the way.
Right.
You're a bum.
Yeah.
That's like where they do their best work. That's,
I have to
they're
say.
They're the inventors, I think, of calling people bums.
But wouldn't you think in your home ballpark you'd at least get a little support when you went to warm up? Evidently not.
I get it's Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like
right.
they come at you.
Yeah. I wonder if Scanlon had that flash through his mind at all today while he was out there. All right. Well, let's stick with the fans. Early in the ball game, and I think it was about the second or third inning, Padres had somebody at the plate. Or no. Opposite. Wait a minute. No, Padres had a guy.
What kind of scorecard is this?
I didn't write this clearly. Anyway, there was a low pitch right at the knees that the umpire either did or didn't call a strike in the favor of the Padres. And some guy sitting, you probably heard it, Tony.
Oh, this guy was amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Right below the
I could
the
hear
booth,
him all game.
Screaming.
He was pretty good.
He's screaming all over the place. You're a bum, everything else. Mark Grant goes, there's some Yahoo from Joliet down there who's calling balls and strikes. Was he there all day? Did Dave have to make a change with the microphone? Because he's probably picking this guy up all day, right?
He didn't make a change in my microphone because I sure enough could hear him.
You could hear him all day.
All day. Well, you know, we had, what was his name? Shane Livingsvarger behind the dish today.
That's who was the ump, okay.
Who was a little tall. And, you know, so... He was making comments about the zone all game long, and I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was just yelling most of the time.
Yeah, he was. Xander Bogaerts, couple of bombs to the ivy today, and that reminds me that when you hit the ball to the ivy in April or March or April, there's no ivy.
No.
Have you played in Wrigley Field? Because that wall has got to be very unforgiving. Jackson went back there and was reaching for it a couple of times. I'd imagine as an outfielder, playing Wrigley with no ivy is one of the more dangerous outfields you can play in. Correct or no?
That's why the P. Crow Armstrong play early in the game was a very difficult play. Because your instincts at this time of year, when it's cold, is like, you know that brick wall is coming. And so your natural instinct is to kind of alligator arm that particular play, but he got enough of his arm out there to snag that ball, took some extra bases away. I think my first ever opening day start came in Wrigley Field with no ivy on.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. I also enjoy coming here during the summer where it's green. I think you have two pictures of Wrigley. Early Wrigley, it's usually gray in your thoughts. It's usually brown ivy. Summer Wrigley, you think clear skies, green ivy. Daytime or nighttime.
Yeah. The only game I ever went to in Wrigley was in the month of May, and I was shocked because I couldn't wait to walk in and see the ivy, and it wasn't there.
No
yet.
Ivy.
Oh, man, when I went in August, I went in August, it was perfect ivy.
Oh, man, it's got to be amazing. Love to see
it. I even walked all the way down the line to try to get a better look at ivy. The only time I'll ever go and look at a plant closer just to see what it looks like.
All right, we'll get to Pete Crow Armstrong a little bit more on the notes on a scorecard, but Jackson Merrill doubles to left center field and extends his hit streak to 8 games. That is the longest by a 21-year-old in Padre history to start a season. And, Tony, he jumps on the first pitch. 5th hit that he's had already this year on the first pitch. Is this something that they will start adjusting to with Jackson? And what will he do to combat that?
I think it's less about swinging at the first pitch and more about his pitch selection. I think there was a portion of spring training where we heard conversation about him wanting to have better pitch selection, and it led to him being a little less on the attack at a certain part of spring. And then all of a sudden, I think he had a few bad ones, and he just kind of reverted back to what he's doing. I think he should stay there. I think he'll learn what pitches not to attack as he gets more experience under his belt. He's doing pretty good with the kind of pitches he's attacking at this point. So
yes.
If I'm him, I'm not changing it. Let the league make its adjustments, and then you just got to make it along with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see if people start going outside the strike zone to Jackson early in the count. All right, after that double, Brandon Lockridge came up. Or no, after Jake hit a double in the 5th inning. Sorry, Jake. Lockridge came up with nobody out. Mike Schilt called for the sacrifice bunt, move him to third, try to take a 2-1 lead. With the number 9 hitter coming up, Maldonado, that is not something you often see. And in this case, it didn't work out because Maldonado bounced to short and Jake got thrown out at the plate. Did you like that at the time, Tony? The sack bunt there in the 5th inning. Playing a little Monday morning quarterbacking as we are.
Yeah, I did. I think a couple different things there. Toddy's coming up behind them. You get to a spot where...
So if Maldonado doesn't get it in, then Fernando can.
Well, exactly. Well, I like the idea of going... I think the real question is, they went... they had a contact play on.
That's right.
Had a contact play on.
Yeah.
Had a contact play on with Jake. So, yes, I didn't mind the sack bunt there. Locke is a terrific bunter. You hope that he can get a bunt down where he's bunting for, basically bunting for a hit. That's the kind of speed he has.
Right.
It turns out that it ended up just being the sack. They go contact play with Maldonado up. You know, you force them, meaning the Cubs, to make the right play and execute it. They do. And then I think you live with the fact that Toddy's coming up there in that spot because you're in scoring position the moment he comes up to the plate. And so in the way he's been swinging, I think it was worth the wait. And not only that, now you got to remember the previous 7 games color the lens here. The Padres have executed at an extremely high rate in the first 7 games. So why do anything different in this spot? It's worked to this point. Today it didn't for like one of the first times. And, you have to live with the consequence.
Fair enough. And I'm with you. there, but I did mark it down as something to question later on in the ball game. Now in the fifth inning, that was the key inning of the game,
and it was early too. Still, right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Bottom of the fifth, two out single by Ian Happ, and that ended Vasquez's streak, 12 in a row. By the way, Vasquez, after a really horrible first inning, I give him a lot of credit for bouncing back and settling in there and giving me 12 consecutive outs. That showed me something. He threw 34 pitches in the first inning and then only 34 more to get to the fifth inning. So he did a nice job. But the key moment for me in that inning was the 3-2 pitch to Tucker that was maybe a half an inch off the plate that he took. And then Suzuki on 3-2 laid off a curveball that was another inch outside. Those are things the Padres are very good at doing. Cubs did it today. It loaded the bases, set the stage for their two runs. Give them credit is what I'm saying.
You definitely got to give them credit. Listen, they came in playing pretty well. They just swept the A's. They've been playing some pretty good baseball. Nonetheless, today they out-executed the Padres.
Yeah,
I think that's
good.
Really what it boiled down to.
I felt the same thing, and that's what I said at the beginning. I said the Cubs were the Padres today, and the Padres were not quite the Padres today. You know, you don't see Manny make an error, but it does happen. Padres did not get any running game going today. All right, let's go to the ninth inning, because that's, again, where the game was decided. And there was two plays that the Cubs made that were incredible, basically. The first was with a runner at first, and Jackson hits a line drive to left center field. Crow Armstrong dives for the ball. I thought that was an ill-advised dive, first of all, that situation. Secondly, if it bounces past him, it's a triple, and the Padres probably do end up tying the game. He got a little lucky, I would say, Tony. What'd you think of that?
That's exactly what happened. As soon as he left his feet, I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is a triple.
Yeah.
He got extremely lucky that he was able to pick that up. Because let's say he just knocks it down, the Padres got two runners in scoring position in that spot right there.
Yeah.
And he's very fortunate. I promise you, after the game, Quentin Berry, their third base coach and outfield guy, and or Craig Counsell told him, hey, man, we're up in that situation. You got to keep that ball in front. I'm glad you caught it.
Yeah,
because if you don't, that's all, you know, it's a merry-go-round.
Don't you, and I believe Crow Armstrong's a young player, but...
And listen, that's also what happens when you're that fast. Like, you think
yes, right, you think you can get to it. Yeah, no, that's, yes, right. Young legs sometimes. You know, but I think as an outfielder, you tell yourself before the ball's hit that in this situation, the tying run's at the plate. So I have to keep that guy on first base no matter what I do.
That's the only thing that matters.
Right. So I'm thinking Crow Armstrong, you know, didn't really think that through properly. Even though you might be right, Tony. So fast, he just thought, I can get this.
I will say this. He had no business getting as close as he did to making the catch. And so that all kind of leads into the lack of experience. As he gets more experience, and I'm sure, as I said, he's got good coaching staff over there. Somebody explain that to him. You know, you hope you don't have to learn due to that mistake actually happening to you, right? Because then you have the feeling of letting your team down. In this case, all is good because you were able to kind of pick that up. But, yeah, I agree. Definitely luck was on their side on that.
And it wasn't all that dissimilar when the next batter, Gavin Sheets, hit a chopper to the left side. Shaw went for the do-or-die short hop on that one, Tony.
Oh,
and again,
man.
Went right into his glove. I mean, if that bounces away, bases loaded, et cetera, one out, who knows? So they had back-to-back scoops there that really saved the game for them.
That one I'll give more skill than luck in that case. That was a heck of a play. But you're right. This is what I'm talking about. Like, these are two good teams playing good baseball, and a little bit of luck one way. We've seen Padres have a ton of it in the first seven games. Today was the first day the other team had a little bit more luck on their side, and they were barely able to hang on to that one.
All right, it was a good game today. I don't think the Padres played poorly. I think the Cubs just out-Padre'd the Padres just a bit today. And there was, you know, the margins went the Cubs' way today in a very close game, 3-1. I like the way the Padres came off the deck, you know, had the chance in the ninth inning. You always like to see this. And, you know, the old, it's not over till the, you know, last man is out type of thing.
Oh, that's what they say.
What's one of the things they say? Why don't you go back to doing whatever you're doing? By the way, I was watching a ball game earlier. The Rockies game was on. We had the NCAA Women's Final Four.
Oh, I love watching layup lines, Chris.
And guess what? Scraby has ruined both things by flipping the clicker around for
and
the last 10
minutes.
And
guess what, Chris? I'm trying to set up this Apple TV like you asked me to earlier.
I know that's what you're doing. I'm just trying to be give you a hard time. Dodgers are on Apple TV today, so we're trying to see if we can watch the Dodger game in
but
here.
But I have to download the stupid app.
Oh, my goodness. So this may be a while. All right.
I asked Chris, hey, what's your Apple TV login? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody really know what their Apple TV is login is?
Yes, everybody knows.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Well, the phone saves it, so I don't need to know it anymore.
That's also
Thank
true.
You, Tony. And on my phone, I don't think I've programmed that one in there yet. All right, very good. Those were the notes on a scorecard today with Tony's assistance, which makes it even that much better. 4 o'clock hour. We're going to do a little daily gambit when
Wait,
we come back.
Was that shot at my scorecard assistance?
No, it was just a compliment for Tony's scorecard assistance.
Don't be sensitive, Scrape.
Yeah. Tony,
well, you know,
it was just good to have Tony on.
I'm the scorecard vet, and you didn't even look at me once during this whole
thing.
Well,
you were busy screwing up the TV, so I didn't want to interrupt you.
That is true. The chat was like, what are you doing? Because they just saw me doing the remote for like 10 minutes.
Didn't want to interrupt you destroying our coverage up here. All right. Gwen and Chris, rolling on. Tony in Chicago. We're back with more from the Odyssey Palace Studios.